Okay, we're continuing along our story. We're on Pei Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Bet. Four lines from the bottom. Who were these angels who visited Avram? Ma Ninu, Shlosha Nashim. Who were the three angels who came? Michael, the Gabriel, the Rifa. Michael, Shabala, Vaseret, Sarah. Right, he came to tell her that she's going to have a baby. Rifael, Shabala, Lerapet, Avraham. Right, you can see why his name. He came to cure Avraham. Gabriel Azalam Abchinu Listom. He went to take care of stone. So now it's a little confusing because if you recall the stone story, how many malachim went to stone?
Two.
So Bahaktiv Ayavosh Ne Malachim Stom Abaerev. Right. So how could that be? Two malachim came to stone. So you did remember the psukim well. So what do they answer? Da Azal Michael Bahade L'Shazve L'Lot. Michael went to take care of Lot, not to actually destroy the city, but to save him. Daikanami dichtiv, here's your proof. Vayahafoch et harima elu. Velo katu vayavchu, right? And what happens? Two guys go in, but then it says they turned over the he turned over the city in singular, vayahafoch. So there, right, overturned. So there we see that it was two to start, but one took care of Lot, one took care of the city.
But I thought there's a midrash that says
vayavchu.
Malach only had one task, so how could Michael have had two?
Yeah. So that's a good question about
accompanying him, but he didn't have a role.
Right. It's a good question. How could it be? Right. Whether you take that literally, right. The question is how the midrash that says each one had only one role, so what do they do with the Shnei Malachim, right? They would have to explain
just keeping
that.
Keeping him company.
Yeah. Okay. Maishna l'gabe Avraham dichtiv kain ta'aseh asher dibarta. Okay, by the malachim, let's see if I brought this pasuk. Okay. So it says, okay, looking in Breishit Yuchet, I have a page with the pasukim on it. It says, ve'kapa lechem v'sadu libchem, achar tavo, right, please eat some food. Ki ha'kein abartam alavdechem. And what did they say to Avraham? Vayamru kain ta'aseh asher dibarta. We will do exactly like you said. He had to beg them. Okay, Lot had to beg the angels. And then it says, so the rest of that pasuk, I don't have it on the page, but it's in Breishit Yud-Tet Gimel. It says, right? After he begged them, then finally they came, and then it says, and then they ate. So, why did they agree immediately to Avraham, and yet Lot had to convince them to stay? Amar b'Elazar, mikan shemisarvim lekatan ve'em misarvim legadol. Okay, from here, what do we learn? This is, we're going to learn midot from here, and you're going to see a whole bunch now, some that you're more familiar with, which is, if a great gadol offers you something, you should say yes. If a less important person offers you, you can say no thanks. Right? In other words, there's always this debate when someone offers you to come into their house and eat. Is it appropriate to say yes, not yes? You know, how do you act? So the Gemara here is giving you guidelines. If it's a gadol, then you say yes. That you learn from the angels. And if he's a katan, then you can say no until he really convinces you, he really wants you to stay, then you can say yes. K'tiv ve'echa pat lechem, uk'tiv ve'ela bakar ratz Avraham. Amar b'Elazar, mikancha tzadikim umrim ma'at v'osim harbe, right? You learn this in first grade, right? We learn from Avraham that osim ma'at, you speak very little, but you do harbe, right? He says, I'm going to bring you bread, and what does he do? He brings bakar. So he says, I'm going to bring you a little, but then he brings a lot. Rishaim umrim harbe v'osim ma'at. And Rishaim are the opposite, right? Umrim harbe v'afilu ma'at einam osim, right? They don't even do the little, right? They say they're going to do so much, and they only do a little. Who do we learn this from? Remember this? Minala mi Ephron. Okay, what's with Ephron? Mi karktiv. Eretz arba meot shekel kesef. Right, I'm going to take 400 shekel kesef. Ulevasoch ktiv. Vayishma Avraham al Ephron. Vayishkol Avraham al Ephron. Et hakesef asher diber bo osnei b'nechet. Arba meot shekel kesef over lasocher. Okay, which means like a better type of money. Okay, he just asked for Avraham el shekel kesef, but when Avraham gives it, he gives him a higher standard of money. To lo shakamine ela kantere. He would only accept from him. Okay, there's different explanations here, but we'll go with that. He wanted pure coins. He wanted to make sure they were all absolutely perfect. One of the Deod I saw says that when you give so much money, you don't check that every single coin is going to be exactly perfect. You can assume that for the most part, it's about the right amount. But Ephraim was very makpi, right? He didn't say he was, but in the end he was makpi that it'd be perfect coins. Dika duchte dekarile letikla kantira. Some people call shkalim kantira, okay? Again, there's different explanations what this is, but I'll go with the one that it means it was totally pure, perfect coins, as opposed to that. And it was okay because a tikla is a shekel, tuf and shin switch, we talk about that all the time. So some people call the shekel a kantira, and therefore Ephraim could claim that's what I meant, even though right, he didn't explicitly say that in the beginning. Okay. Ktiv, kemach. Uktiv solet. Now this is a bit of a strange drasha. I want you to see the pasuk, okay? So, because the drasha doesn't exactly, okay? Look at the pasuk in vav. Vayimeher Avraham ohela el Sarah, vayomer maharish shlosh seim kemach solet. Doesn't it sound like it says solet and it also says kemach? It calls it kemach solet, right? If you would go buy solet in the store, you might call it kemach solet, right? Flour that's solet. What is solet? Very fine flour. So they're basically darshaning why it says kemach and solet. So the drasha doesn't exactly come out of these words, but anyway, they darshan this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikan shayisha tzara eneha borchim yoter menaish. Okay, but she wanted to give them kemach, and Avraham said, no, bring them the solet, the better stuff. Okay, and here you learn that women are a little more stingy with their food than the men are. The men will say, oh, bring out everything. And the woman tries to cut corners. Okay, what we want to make of this, I would not make of it too much.
It suggests a more realistic view at some level. Like the men can say,
yeah, let's have lots of guests.
And she's
let's
the one who's in charge of the flour. She's the one who's actually making the bread. Like, you know, there are limits to what I can
do.
There
are, right. Yes, you can take this to something that we can all really relate to, which, you know, It's easy for
someone else to say, do this.
Right, assuming that the husband's not the one in the kitchen, yeah. It's easy for him to say, let's make more, let's have more guests, let's do this, when the woman's the one actually doing the stuff, and therefore she's the one to maybe be a little more, be careful about this, careful about that. Okay, all those stories in the Gemara also, you know, with how the husband, Yosef Mokir Shabbat, where the husband goes out and spends all his money, and the wife is like, why are you spending all our money on this one fish for Shabbat, you know, and like, she's always the one who's being the practical, like, we don't have that much money to spend on this. And, you know, so it fits the mold of all the stories. Okay, k'tiv. Lushi v'asi ugot, uktiv v'yikachem av chalav u'ben abakar. V'ilu lechem lo aite l'kamayu, right? He says, go make ugot, which we assume means bread. But in the end, what does he bring them?
Not bread.
Right, not bread. He brings the butter, chalav, milk, and the meat. Amar Ephraim Mikshaat, Talmidosha Rabbi Meir, Mishmei de Rabbi Meir, so it was passed down by one of his students in the name of Rabbi Meir. Avraham Avinu Ochel Chulim B'Tahara Haya. He would always eat, remember we've talked about this, the people who ate Chulim B'Tahara, and as the Kohanim are the ones who spoke, right, people in the Mikdash have to be Makpid on Truma, right, not even in the Mikdash, but all the Kohanim have to be Makpid on their Truma and only eat a B'Tahara, because otherwise they'll be Mutame the Truma. But because you're daim or shniot, right? And they turn truma into a shlishi or kodshim. But regular food can't be metame by touching it by your hands. However, there were all these people, namely they were called the prushim, who were very mafpid to ichul and betara. So now we're basically projecting that onto Avraham Avinu and saying, he must have also eaten chul and betara. So why didn't they eat the bread? Because sarayimenu otoyom persani dashkata period that day. And therefore, the bread became tameh, so they couldn't eat it. So that must be what happened to the bread that disappeared, right? It should have been, but wasn't.
But it wasn't on the list.
Right. Was it that you didn't have the stuff in the kitchen for it? Right, which you could have answered, right?
Or you could
he said, go make it, but maybe she didn't have the ingredients. But hard to imagine she didn't have ingredients for bread.
Or he said, go make it, and therefore you don't also need to say he brought it, because he obviously...
Right, obviously you made it. Right, exactly. You don't necessarily need to restate it, although it does state all the food that they brought, so, you know, or at least food that they... Right, exactly. You can make things out of this.
And red is obvious. Right?
Okay, you're not going to like this next one, okay? Vayomu elav ayeh Sarah ishtecha. So then they say, right, where is Sarah, your wife? Vayomu hinei ba'ohel. Okay, now why is it telling us hinei ba'ohel? Right, she didn't want to go out to greet the guest. She was snuah. She was ba'ohel. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, beitema Rabbi Yitzchak. Yodima yumalachei asheret shesara yimenu ba'ohel aita. Ella my ba'ohel. So what do you mean? The angels, obviously, if they were just asking her whereabouts, they knew they were angels. They know what's going on. They obviously knew she was in the ohel. So why did they ask? So here, right, even better. My ba'ohel kedei lechaveval ba'ala. They wanted Avraham to feel good about his wife, and for him to say, oh, she's in the OL, meaning, oh, my wife, I'm so proud of her that she stays in the OL. She's so tznuah, she doesn't come out to the guests.
I was just
okay?
Thinking, thinking maybe it's the menstrual
right. Right. Connect to the menstrual time of the month. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar, Kedei L'Shager La Koshel Bracha. They wanted to give her a Koshel Bracha. That's why they asked about her. They wanted her to come out so they could give her a Koshel Bracha. Tane Mishum Rabbi Yossi Lama Nikud Al Aleph Yud Vav Shebe'elav. Okay, there's Nikudot in the Torah on them. There's a bunch of psukim in the Torah that have these dots on top. So the Aleph Yud Vav of the word Elav, okay, where they said Vayomru Elav, and they said, where's Ayesara Ishtacha, have dots on them. Limda Torah Derech Eretz. Yishal Adam Ba'achsan Yashado. I don't know why they call a woman achsanya though. Right, that's a
bayit.
It's a right, it's like a bayit. Okay, and achsanya is like your lodging place. Just like we call your bright debitu is his wife from bayit. So you should always ask a person how his wife is doing. Seth went to a wedding last night and he came home and he said, oh, this one asked about you and this one asked about you. I said, ah, there you go. It's exactly in the right. They're supposed to. You're supposed to ask about your wife. Okay. Bahamar Shmuel, wait a minute. Shmuel says, "Ain't shalim b'shlom isha klal." It's forbidden to ask the shlom of an isha. That's right. That's like men, women interacting somehow. It's not appropriate. So what do they ask? The way they answer, "Al yedei ba'ala shani." No, it's okay for you to ask a husband about his wife. It's not okay for you to ask some other person about this woman. Right? To start inquiring about a woman, how she's doing. That's not appropriate. Okay. All sorts of interesting hilchot tzniut coming up here. Acharei baloti haitali edna. Okay, now we're up to other things. We're moving off of that topic. Okay, what is this thing? This is where Sarah's saying, basically, I'm too old to have a baby. Am Rav Chista, acharei shenitbala habasar, virabu hakmatim, nitadein habasar, v'nifshitu hakmatim. Okay, and it's after the skin got old and wrinkled, then all of a sudden it became new again. V'chazar hayofi limkomo. Okay, and she became beautiful again and young. K'tiv adoni zaken. Okay, uktiv va'ani zakanti. Now, what is this? You have to look at these psukim, otherwise you won't understand. What does Sarah say? Okay, she says, v'sara shema petach ha'o abu ha'charav, end of pasuk yud. Yud aleph, right, v'abraham v'sara zkenim ba'im bayamim, chadali yel v'sara ochre nashim, right? She didn't, right, again, obviously, she didn't get her period, but obviously then, according to the Midrash, she got her period already that day. But Yitzchak Sarah b'kirba lemor, achore baloti haitali edna va'adoni zaken. She says, and Avraham is old. Okay? So now, v'yomer Hashem al Avraham, lama ze tzachaka Sarah lemor, ha'afum name lev va'ani zakanti? Why did Sarah say about herself, how could I possibly have a baby and I'm old? Now, what did Sarah say? Avraham's old. Right? She said Avraham's old, and when Avraham quotes what Sarah said, he quotes it saying, your wife complained and said, how am I going to have a baby? I'm so old. Okay, so what do you learn from here? And Derech Eretz, right, how to do this? D'lo motev HaKadosh Baruch Hu kidakamra ihi, right? That Hashem didn't say it exactly the way he misquoted her. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, Gadol Shalom Shafilo Kadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo, Shinemar v'tizchak Sarah v'kirba v'chule v'adoni zaken. Okay, uktiv, vayomer Hashem al Avraham, v'ani zakanti. Okay, so here we have that Avraham did it for the purpose of Shalom Bayit. He didn't want to tell Avraham that Sarah said that he's old, right? So he quoted it that she said about herself that she's old. Vatomer mimilel l'Avraham heinika banim Sarah. Okay, so now what's this? This is a strange pasuk. If you look in Parakaf Aleph, so here's the section where Sarah actually has the baby, right? These were from Yurched. In Pasuk Kaf Aleph, it says, Hashem pakad et Sarah, right? And then she has a child. And then what happens? It says, they give him a brit milah, and Avraham's 100 years old. Vatomer Sarah, tzchok asali Elohim, kol ha'shomei yitzchak li, right? Everyone's going to make fun of me. Vatomer, and she says, mi milah la'Avraham, heini kabanim Sarah, ki aladati ben lizkuna. Okay, so they say, right, who spoke to Avraham? And heini kabanim Sarah, right? So what does this mean? She nursed many children. What do you mean she nursed many children? She nursed one child. That was the only child she had. So we're going to have an interesting midrash. Amar Rabbi Levi, oto yom shegamal Avraham. Oh, so it says, kama banim enika Sarah, right? How many sons did she nurse? Amar Rabbi Levi, oto yom shegamal Avraham et Yitzchak beno, asas su'uda gedola, right? So the day he was weaned, they made a big su'uda. Hayu kol umot ha'olam meranenim ve'omrim. Ra'item zakenu zkena sheviu asufi min ashuk ve'omrim b'neinu hu. Remember the asufi? A Sufi is a kid who's found on the street, and you bring him in, and you don't know his mother is, you don't know his father is, so he's a Sufi mamzer, because we have no idea. So the Umot HaOlam started saying bad things about Yitzchak, saying he doesn't belong to Abraham, and questioning his lineage, and saying, how could this be? They're old. V'lo od ela shosim mishte gadol ha'mi divrem, right? They're trying to do this big party. Why do they think they were throwing a party? To try to prove to everyone, to fake everyone out, and say, this is really our son. So now what's going to happen? They're going to have to prove that she really had a child. You can see where this is going since you know where we started from. Ma'asa Abraham Avinu, halach v'zimein kol gedolei hador, okay, all the important people of the generation. I assume they mean Jews and non-Jews. V'sarai menu zimnat nishotehem, okay, here we go with the tzniut thing, right? She invited the women. V'chol achat ve'achat hevia bina ima umenikta. Umenikta lo hevia. Everybody brought their son, but they didn't bring their nursemaid, right? People had nursemaids in those days who would nurse their babies. They didn't bring their nursemaids. V'nasan nes v'sarai menu v'niptuchu dadeh k'shtei mayanot v'hinika et kulan. And she showed everybody that she, right, still has it. She can still have children, and she nursed all the babies. V'adayin hayumarananim v'omrimim sarah habat tishim teled, Abraham b'mea shana yolid. Right? How could that possibly be? If it's one thing, maybe Sarah had a baby, but who's to say this is Abraham's baby? He's a zaken. How could he have children? Miyad nehapach klaster panim shel Yitzchak v'nidme l'Avraham. Okay, so immediately, interesting, right? Yitzchak's face changes and looks exactly like Avraham's face. Okay, this is going to lead us to another thing. And therefore, patru kulam v'amru, Avraham holidit Yitzchak. Okay, now whereas this is a later pasuk, which is just kind of telling the lineage. It says, Avraham holidit Yitzchak, right? That's the intro to the, that's, I think, the intro to, where is it? Get which parak, it's in cafe. Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, right, in Parshat Toldot. Okay, Avraham holid Yitzchak. So they're saying, why did it have to tell us Avraham holid Yitzchak? Because that's the comment that everybody said, right, they're obviously taking this out of context, that's the comment that everybody said, this is Mishteh. Now we know that Avraham holid Yitzchak. Okay, now we talked about the klaster panim of Yitzchak looking like Avraham. Now we're going to learn, they're also going to say something interesting about how things were and how things are today and how things changed. An Avraham lo haya zikna. Okay, there was no such thing as aging until the time of Avraham. Interesting. Man dehava bai l'mishte bahade Avraham, mishte bahade Yitzchak. Bahade Yitzchak, mishte bahade Avraham. In other words, Avraham and Yitzchak, since we already said that Yitzchak was his face turned to look like Avraham, so what do we say? That anyone who wanted, since there was no zikna, they must have really looked identical. So people who want to talk to Avraham would go to Yitzchak and not realize that one was one, one was the other. So obviously this became a little bit annoying to Avraham. So hata Avraham, by rachamei v'hava zikna. Okay, so he asked for rachamim, that there should be some sort of way to distinguish him from his son, and there became zikna. Now, we're obviously, all these weird things we're going to say now are going to somehow connect to psukim. Shneamar, the first place in the Torah it appears, v'Avraham zaken babi yamim. Okay, we've seen that term a bunch of other times, right? David zaken babi yamim and others, but the first time it appears is by Avraham. So we're going to assume that he must have been the first person who ever had this idea of zikna. The idea of zikna doesn't come up before that, right? Even the people who lived 900 years, right? There was no issue of zikna. It also makes sense, by the way, because if at that point in the world people started living less time than they used to live, you know, maybe, right, signs of aging eventually destroy your body, right? Maybe if they didn't have signs of aging, you could explain why they lived so long. Again, what to make of this, in a real sense, I don't know what to say about this. Ad Yaakov lo hava chulsha. Before Yaakov, people just got old and they died. There was no, like, lead-up to the death. So, Ata Yaakov by Rachameh. What was the whole thing about Yaakov? He wanted, now, it also appears by Yitzchak, but anyway, they darshan it from Yaakov, because you'll see. But he wanted to bless his children before he died. So he wanted to know before he was dying. So that, right, when it would be, right? People would rather have a little preparation time before death, right? Not everybody has the ability to do that, but basically, until then, people would just die right away. Yaakov asked for rachamim v'havi chulsha. How do we know? Shenemar v'yomer liyosef. Hine avicha chole. Right? It's the first time we see choli in the Torah. Ada'ata Elisha. Now we're going to learn something from Elisha, Hanavi. Lo havadechalish ve'etpach. everybody who would get weak would die. In other words, we went from death, immediate death, to sickness before death. Now we're going to learn that before Elisha, if you got sick, you died. Once Elisha came, there were sicknesses without death. How do we know this? Because Elisha must have gotten sick a bunch of times. We're going to prove this from the Psukim. Ata Elisha bai rachame v'itpach. Okay, he was sick and he asked for rachamim and he was healed. Shenemar. V'Elisha chala, at the end of his death, it says, at the end of his life, it says, he got sick, chalat chalyo asher yamut bo. Okay? He got sick with a sickness that causes death. So now they're going to assume that this means he must have earlier on had a sickness that didn't cause his death. Michal de chala chale achrite. Must have gotten sick other times. Now there's a bright about how many times he actually got sick. And each is going to be correlated, because we look at sickness as a punishment. Each is going to correlate to a different punishment that he got for something bad that he did. Tanish losha chala'in chala Elisha. Echad shedachafo legechazi b'shtei yadav, ve'echad shegira dubim b'tinokot, ve'echad shemei po shneimar v'lish chala et chalyo asher yamut bo. The last one doesn't seem coming in connection with any aveira that he did that we know of. So it just says, we know he had a third one because that was the one that caused his death. But the two other ones were earlier. So what are the two stories, right? Gechazi, if you remember, he was the Nar of Naaman. Naaman had Sarad. He came and he got healed by, right? He couldn't get healed by anyone. Elisha heals him from his leprosy. And then he tries to give Elisha gifts and Elisha doesn't want them. And then Gehazi goes and runs after him and gets the gifts. And Elisha pushes him off and curses him that he's going to get Sarad also. So that's one. It was a bit of a harsh reaction and that was inappropriate. The second case was when these, remember the Ale Kerech, they call him Baldy, these kids, and he gets angry at them and he sends these Dubim, and I think 42 kids died, if I remember the numbers correctly. And that was also a harsh reaction, especially they were Na'arim, it wasn't, you know. So anyway, he gets punished for those things. That's the assumption. Okay. Ella, now we're back to our Mishnah. Okay, we're going to get now off of the drashot, back to Gemara's for now. Ella ad shelo yatchilu b'melacha, tzei ve'emor la mamanat she'ein lachem alai ela pat v'kitnit bilvad. Remember, that's what the rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, tells his son. But quickly, before they start working, go tell them that they can only have pat v'kitnit. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amar le Rav Acha b'reig Rav Yosef le Rav Chista, pat kitnit nan? Are we talking about bread made from legumes? Oh, pat v'kitnit nan? Or is it pat en legumes? Amar le ha'elokim tzricha vav kimordia delivrot. So he says, okay, so what is this? A mordia delivrot is an oar. You need an oar for a boat, right? It's like a basic item. So they're saying that this vav is a basic item there, and that halukim means, like, I swear, you need a vav, like the more, in other words, there's a vav there. Don't you see the vav? The vav means pat en kitnit. Okay? Therefore, now what's the relevance? The relevance is that if you say it's bread and legumes, then what if you just gave them, and it's, what it's trying to teach you is something entirely different, not about the story, who cares what the story, whether he gave them this or that. But the point is, if you say bread, can you get away with giving someone bread made out of legumes? Okay, can you give them cornbread and say, oh, well, that's bread? But no, they're saying this is pat v'kitnit, meaning pat is pat, kitnit is kitnit, and pat kitnit is not anything of any real substance, and you can't try to pass that off on your workers. Ramachimam and Gamliel, that's what some of the Mefreshim say. I don't know if it's clear that it comes from here, but that's what some of the Mefreshim say to answer the question, who cares whether, you know, what really happened in the story. Ramachimam and Gamliel, Enot Tzarich HaKol Kimin HaGamedina, right? He didn't need to say that because HaKol Kimin HaGamedina. So why does he say HaKol? HaKol must, right? It should have just said Osim Kimin HaGamedina. Why does he use the word HaKol, which seems to include? HaKol LaTuyemai, where to bring what? LaTuyeh HaDitnana Socher Tapo VaOmer Lo. I'll give you a salary like one or two people in the city. So what do you think he means, right? Notelo kipachot shebeschirut. Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says this means he's giving him like the minimum wage. Okay, whatever the person in the town makes, the person who makes the lowest salary, that's what I'm giving you. Chachamim omrim mishamnin benehem. Okay, nobody really knows what this means, but most of the Mefreshim say it's somehow some sort of average. Either right? There's two ways you could take the average. Either take the highest wage and the lowest wage and do the mean, right? That's what we call it, the mean, the median?
Median.
The median, right? The middle number. Oh, no, the median would be the middle number. No. The average would be add up all the salaries in the town and then come up with an average. But I think it's the mean, right? The median would be if you counted all of them, you would take the middle one, right? The mean is take the largest and the smallest, average those two, and come up with an amount, which is obviously a little easier than averaging everybody's salary. Take a long time. So anyway, there's a few different interpretations about what that is. Some people actually say it actually has nothing to do with average. Mishamin from shama'ut, to appraise. You actually appraise the value of the work that the guy did and decide whether he meant, you know, if he did an amazing job, then pay him like the highest wage. If you did a poor job, then you pay him like the lowest wage. So there's all, nobody really knows exactly what that term means. Or there's different interpretations. Mishnah. Ve'elu ochlim min ha-Torah. Now we're going to learn, okay, what your rights are according to the Torah. Maybe we'll take a look at the psukim first. In Devarim Perek Kaf Gimel on your sheet. Ki tavo bekerem re'echa, when you're in the kerem of your friend, which they're going to darshan to mean not just your friend's kerem, it really means if you're working there in the field. We'll see how they darshan that. Ve'achalta anavim kinafshecha sav'echa. You can eat anavim lasvia, right? To satiate yourself. Ve'alkalyecha lo titein, but don't put them in a kli. In other words, don't collect a whole lot of them and take. Okay, this means while you're a worker, you can eat on the job. Okay, but we're going to see there's a lot of criteria to when you can eat, what you can eat, etc. Ki tavo bekamat re'echa, when you go into the field, right, one is kerem, one is the field. Bekatavta mililopi yadecha, and you pick them by hand. Bechermesh lo tanifa kamat yadecha, which means don't use a sickle, what?
Kamat re'echa.
Right, in your friend's field. In other words, if you're going to take stuff, take it by hand. Don't take it by cutting it. Okay, now obviously if you're cutting for work, you're allowed to cut for work. You're working in their field. But if you're eating stuff from there, pick it by hand, don't, right? Because obviously with a tool, you can obviously get a lot more. So, here's the criteria. We're going to start with a bunch. We're going to get to a lot more. Ve'elu achlim min ha-Torah. Ha'useh b'mechubar la-karka b'sh'at gemar melacha. U'bitalush min ha-karka ad shelo nigmara melachto. Okay, what does this mean? If you're working with stuff that's attached to the ground, at what time? Bishak gemar melacha, meaning in the harvest season while you're cutting, so you can take from things that are attached to the ground. Now, what? So meaning you can't take from things, we're going to see it in a minute in the Mishnah, but you can't take from things that are attached to the ground in an earlier stage before they're actually ripened and ready to be picked. Bitalush min akarka, and things that are detached from the ground, what happens after you pick them? Then you start putting them in the piles, and you do, right, you put them in bundles, then you put them in piles, then you bring them into the house. So all those things, you can eat them ad shalonig maramalachto, okay, until you get to the later stages, okay? But once you get to the later stages, you're not allowed to do that. What is that? That's when they're chayav and maser already, okay? And Rashi even says if it's for challah, then it's ad shaloni gmara melachto l'challah. In other words, once it becomes chayav and challah, until that stage, you can still eat from it. U'bedavar shegidulo min ha'aretz. And this is obviously only relating to things that are gidulo min ha'aretz. So for example, if you milk the cows, you can't take the milk from the cows because that's not a davar shegidulo min ha'aretz. So we're talking about workers can eat on the job if they work out in fields with fruits, with crops, all that kind of stuff. Vineyards, but not if they work with animals and food comes from the animals. Ve'elu she'en ochlin, and here are the people who don't. Here are the flip cases of the Mishnah. How seven mechubar l'karka b'shal she'en gemar melacha, before the gemar melacha, right? U'betalush min ha'karka me'achar she'nigmara melachto, or if it's talush, once it's already, you've done the final stages. U'betavar she'en gedulo min ha'aretz, and things that aren't growing from the ground. Where do we learn this whole halacha from? Dichtiv, okay, I started there, but now the Gemara is going to connect. Right? It's very typical of the Mishnah to give you a halacha without connecting it to the psukim, right? As opposed to, we talked about this before, the midrashei halacha teach the halachot usually from the psukim. They're, right, the midrashei halacha are connected, they're ordered according to the psukim in the Torah. So they'll start with the pasuk and say, from here we get, right? The Mishnah doesn't, but then the Gemara fills in the blanks and says, well, where'd you get this from? So, So you learn it from the Kerem Pasuk. So now they're going to say, obviously, well, Eshkachan Kerem Kol Mile Minalan. Well, if you're going to learn it from Kerem, we understand in a Kerem, in a vineyard. But what about everything else? Gamrina Mikerem. So first they want to say, let's do what we call a Binyan Av. What's a Binyan Av? Where we say, it talks about it in one place, and it talks about it in one place, we can learn from here to all other cases. Right? That's what we're going to say. We're going to try to learn it from Kerem. There's always a thing, right? If you have Shnei Ketuvim Habayim Kechad, there's a machloket, whether Melamdim or Emelamdim. Once you have three for sure, you can't learn to anywhere else because it's obviously specific to these cases. But if it's only in one place, everyone agrees, oh, well, you can learn from one to many other cases. So, unless what? Unless you say, oh, there's something unique about that case that means you can't learn from there to other things. So we're going to have a back and forth here. Minan, gamrina mi kerem. Ma kerem miyuchad. What's unique about kerem? It's davarsha gidule karka, right? It grows from the ground. Ubishak mar malacha poal ochelbon. What do we know from the Torah? That when you're finished, right, at the time that you're picking it, you're allowed to eat from there. Af kol davar, here's our binyan av. Therefore, everything shegidule karka, bishak mar malacha poal ochelbon. Okay, so that's our binyan av. Now the Gemara is going to question this. But ma le kerem, sheken chayav beolelot. Kerem has a unique halacha that those little teeny grapes that people don't eat as much, those things that I think they're, how do you define a little exactly? I think the ones that didn't, the little, I think they're the mini grapes that just don't ever grow. Right? Is that what they say? It's the mini ones. There's parrot and olalot. Forget which is which. They're clusters. What? They're grapes that didn't grow in clusters?
Incomplete
clusters. Right, they're incomplete clusters. Okay, so they're grapes that grow in these weird kind of clusters. They're not really full, right? Clusters of grapes are usually full. So if you have olelot, you have to leave them for the poor people. So that sounds like a unique halacha of something extra you have to leave. So they say, well, maybe then by kerem, there's a unique halacha that you also have to leave it for the workers. The workers can eat from them, and you can't learn from there to anyone else. But we already know that there's another pasuk, right? So therefore, gamrina mikama. But we can learn from the second pasuk there that also in the kama it says you're allowed to eat. So again, the Gemara doesn't yet know that. They're going to say kama gufa manalam. Where do we know about the kama? Right? The kama are things that grow straight up. Dichtiv ki tavo bekamat re'echa v'katavta melilo biyadecha. There you have it, right? It says also when you go to your friend's field, you can pick things. So mala kama. So now they're going to say, wait. So if you can learn it from, right, so we tried to do a binyan av from kerem. It didn't work. Then we tried to do a binyan av from kama. It's also not going to work because kama also has a unique halacha. The assumption of kama, generally, is that it means tvuah. Okay, it's grains. Now, any of the five grains. Now, what do we know about the five grains? There's also a unique halacha by them. Ma le kama sheken chayevet bechala. Right? It has a unique halacha that you have to take challah. So maybe also it has a unique halacha that the poalim can eat. So therefore, maybe it's only a unique halacha to that case. Umimai tahai kama, kama demitchayevet bechala. How do you know that just because it says kama, yes, it generally means tfuah, but maybe it means anything growing up. Dilma kol kama kama rahmana. Maybe it means anything. So they say, atya kama kama. There's a gzera shava from k'tiv hacha, ki tavo bekama re'echa in our pasuk, uk'tiv hatam mehechel chermesh bekama. Okay, what's that pasuk? That's in Devarim Perek Tetzayin. I brought it for you here. Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lecha Mehechel Charmesh Bekama Techel Tispor Shiva Shavuot. This is the Omer, right? Which was taken from Seorim. And Seorim are one of the five grains. So there you have it. The Kama there means one of the five grains. Therefore, Kama here must mean from the five grains. That's Gzera Shava, right? Where we take a word appears here, a word appears there, and we can learn from one to the other. Which generally they only do, right? We talked about this in the Tuesday class, when they have a masoret about it. Okay, so they obviously had some masoret that was the situation. So therefore, what are we going to say? So therefore, mahatam chamad mechayev l'apha, and therefore, right, how can we learn from kama? Because it's chayev b'chala. So we have a unique thing about kerem, that it's only, that it's also chayav ba'olalot, and we have a thing with kama that's also chayav b'chala. So one could say that only things that have some extra chayuv, also the workers are allowed to eat from. So ikala mifrach, no, but you can question it, like you can knock that down by saying this. Ma lekama sheken chayav b'chala, kerem yochiach. Ma lekerem sheken chayav ba'olalot, kama tochiach. You could say, no, but obviously it's not the olalot that's causing the what's allowing the workers to eat, because Kama doesn't have olalot, and it's not the challah that's causing the Kama to have to, right? That's not the thing that's mechayev to eat, the, let the poalim eat, because it doesn't, Kerem doesn't have that, and Kerem has that. That's what we call, you know, this will be mochiach, that that's not the basis. But then they say, v'chazar adin, lo ri'izeh ki ri'izeh, right? So therefore, this one doesn't look like this one, the mirror image, right? They're not the same. So what's a tzad ha-shavesha bahen? What's the least common denominator between those two things? Shekein davar shegidulei karko b'shak mar malacha po'al ochel bo. Right? What's unique about these things? They're both gidulei karka, right? Because we knocked out, these cancel each other out. We knock out chal and we knock out olalot because, right, it's a mathematical equation. This one doesn't have that, that one doesn't have that. What are we left with? They're both gidulei karka and the po'al can eat. So therefore, we can learn from the combination of kerem and kama. We can learn to all other things. Not so quickly, though. What are we going to say? So, I've called Avashi Gidulei Karka B'Shakamar Malacha Po'al Ochel Bo, but no. Mala Hatzad HaShavesha Behen. What's unique about the two of them that isn't in everything? Shekein Yesh Behem Tzad Mizbeach. There's something about each of these things that can be Nikrav Al Gabei Mizbeach. What's that? Right? The Kerem brings you wine, the Yayin Nesech, right? They would bring, pour the wine libations. And the Kama has the soul, right, the mincha. They would bring the mincha from the flour.
Also the lechem.
Also the lechem apanim and different korbanot, the shalechem. So basically, those are all things they have em tzad mizbeach. So now what are we going to say? Maybe only things that have tzad mizbeach. That's what makes kerem and kama unique, that they're the only two things that have tzad mizbeach. Is that true? They're the only two things? Not quite. Now they're going to say, wait, v'atanami zayit, di'ipe tzad mizbeach, right? Zayit, you make shemen. The shemen also went into the mincha. And that's not here, so maybe you could say, right, shemen should also be able to, the workers can eat just zaytim, but not anything else. V'zayit b'meh tzad ate, right, you can therefore include it, that it should also be included here. So what do they say? No, you don't need to include that specially. No, I think their question, sorry. They're saying that would knock down this whole thing because that would say this and nothing else, and the Zayit doesn't fall into this category, right? Then the Zayit should have been mentioned, and it wasn't. So therefore, you see that that's not the common denominator here. So they say, no, hu gufe kerem ikri, dichtiv, okay? A Zayit also in the Torah, okay, or in the Nevi'im, we're going to see then Sefer Shoftim, Zayit is called kerem, so you could say that the word kerem includes Zayit, in which case Zayit is included, in which case we can say that the psukim only talk about tzad mizbeach and nothing else. And therefore, you can't learn anything else from here. Where do we see this? Dichtiv in Sefer Shoftim, Vayav ermi gadish ad kama va'ad kerem Zayit, calls the Zayit a kerem. So Amar Papa, kerem Zayit ikri, kerem stama lo ikri. When it's called a kerem zayit, you could say, okay, that's zayit. But when you say the word kerem, kerem does not include zayit in any. You know, if you just said kerem, no one would think it was zayit. And therefore, that would break this down. So therefore, mikom akom kashya. Ela amar shmuel amar. So then they say, in any case, this is still a little difficult because you would still think that it only includes dvarim im tzad mizbeach. So El Amar Shmuel Amar Kra, we're going to learn it now from somewhere else. B'chermesh, Amar Kra b'chermesh, right? We saw that. Remember, it says b'chermesh lo tanif al kamat reyecha in that second pasuk. Lirabot kol ba'alei chermesh. They're saying that comes to include anyone who cuts anything with some sort of kli, right? That's included in the worker, right? You can't cut it with a kli, but you can eat it with your hands. So anytime you're picking anything from the fields, whatever it might be, with a chermesh, right, which is something now, what's right, you cut things from the ground with a chermesh. So therefore they say that includes anything that you would cut from the ground, even if it's not wheat, you know, or any of the grains. The high chermesh mibayle, but wait a minute, we need that chermesh for some other drasha. What do we need it for? Bishat chermesh echol, shelo bishat chermesh lo techol. How did we learn that it's only, now we're learning all the, right, derech agav, we're learning other halachot in the Mishnah. How do we know that it's only when it's gemar malacha? Because it says, don't cut it with a chermesh, meaning The assumption is, when are you allowed to eat? When the time that you're using your chemesh, you're not allowed to use your chemesh to cut things that you're going to eat, but it's at the time that you're using your chemesh. But when it's not the time of you're using your chemesh, you can't eat. So what do they say? So therefore, chemesh is not panoi to teach us anything, right? Including things that are not grains. So we can't use it. But now they're going to, no, you can. Because you don't have to learn the second drasha we just said, that the Gemar Malacha is when we're talking about, because you can learn it from somewhere else. You don't have to learn it from Chermesh. Hahumi el kel yecha lo titein. What does it say? Don't put it in your kelim, in the first pasuk about the keren. What does it mean, don't put it in your kelim? At the time when you're putting things in your kli, when you're collecting them, that's when you can't, right? That's when you're allowed to eat. And you're not allowed to take too many, but that's when you're allowed to eat. So therefore, we can learn it from El Kal Yechalo Titein, and Chermesh is open to teach us something else. So that's me El Kal Yechalo Titein Nafka. It's Yotzemi, that pasuk. Okay, so now we're going to say, well, that helps us. Tinach Debar Chermesh. So now we've included Kerem, Kama, and Kama includes anything that you cut from the ground with a Chermesh. But Delav Bar Chermesh Menalam, what if you're picking off a tree? You don't use a chermesh for that. Okay, a chermesh is a, I think it's a sickle, right? It's a sickle. So if it's not a chermesh, right, you pick it with some other utensil, how do we know that it's included? Ela Amar B'Yitzchak, Amar Kra. So now we're going to reject the fact that we learn it from chermesh. There's a lot of back and forth here. What does he say? We learn from the pasuk, from the word kama, going back to now kama, which we thought we couldn't learn from. Lirabot kol ba'ale kama. Why does it use the term kama? Because kama means growing, right? Tall. Anything that grows tall, right? So a tree or anything like that would be included. V'haka amar, what a minute. Didn't we just say kama, kama, d'mechayeve b'chala, that kama, right? We learned this gzera shava from kama, that it only includes things that are chayeve b'chala. Obviously, that wouldn't include things that are growing on trees. Hanemile, mikame d'naite chermesh. Hate da'arte chermesh, itrabele kol davar, kol debar chermesh. So now they're going to say, that was before we added this word chermesh. But once you have the word chermesh, that comes to include anything that's cut. So we thought kama kama, we would learn from there, and that it's anything that's chayav b'chala. Now we say, but because it adds chermesh, it proves that it's anything that's bar chermesh. And then then kama lamali, and then again, why did we choose the term kama? Lerabot kol ba'alei kama. So the chermesh includes, tells us that it's not only things that are chayav b'chala. Once we say it's not things that are chayav b'chala, we can say kama includes anything that's basically growing. Okay. Ki tavo b'kerem re'echa lamali. So according to this, if kama includes anything that's growing, then what's obviously unnecessary? The whole kerem pasuk. So now, what are we going to say about the kerem pasuk? Amarava lehilchotav. That pasuk is coming to tell us all sorts of halachic details relating to it. We'll go through them quickly and we'll end here. Kedetanya, kitavo, right? Starts that pasuk, if you follow in the pasuk inside, kitavo b'kerem re'echa, ne'emar kambia, v'ne'emar lehalan, lo tavo alav ha-shemesh. Where's that? It's a pasuk about don't not pay your workers, don't let the sun set without having paid your worker. Remember when I said this? I said it's talking about a worker, but it doesn't actually say that in the pasuk. So they say, Kitavo comes to teach us that it's just like Kitavo alav ha-shemesh, and there it's talking about a worker. These pasukim are also referring to workers. It doesn't mean, like the pshat sounds like, you could just go into your friend's field and eat whatever you want, which obviously doesn't make so much sense. This is a good example of where the rabbis said the pshat of the pasuk doesn't make any sense, and they basically say it must be talking about something else, right? And it doesn't make sense that you could just go into somebody's field and eat whatever you want. Bekerem re'echa. So what are we going to learn from re'echa? Bekerem velo bekerem kuti. If you go into a non-Jewish field, then you're actually allowed to take it into your kelim. That's what they're going to learn from here. Okay, that a non-Jewish field, you're allowed to do that. So hani chalamanda amar gezel kuti asur. This is if you hold that it's forbidden to steal from a non-Jew, because then you need a special pasuk to teach you. If you're working for them, then you're allowed to even take it into your kli. Hainu ditzrich kra lemishrei poel, right? That's why you need a pasuk to allow the poel. Ela, laman damar gezel kutim mutar. We saw this machloka, by the way, in Baba Kama, about gezel of a non-Jew. If you say gezel of a kuti is allowed, So hashta gzeila mutar poel mibaya, right? You wouldn't even need to tell us this halacha about a poel. So what? So if you hold gezel kutis mutar, then you can't darshan it this way. So what do? They darshan it the other direction. Mokim la b'kerem re'echa v'lo shel hektesh. Meaning, if it's a field of hektesh, that someone was maktish to the Beit HaMikdash, then you can't eat anything at all. Right? So these are all the extremes. Right? You have the middle case, which is you're allowed to eat, but you can't take too much. So one darshan's it, well, but you can take more and put in your kli if you're working for a non-Jew. The other direction goes and says, no, hekdesh, you can't take anything at all. Okay, we'll stop here for today. There's more, but we'll get into more drashot tomorrow.